Red Letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Light beams shine out of white letters as they appear over black, awesomeness films. Desert trees stand silhouetted against a night sky. Stars begin to move in a circle, leaving trails of light, forming the word ACE. Words appear. Netflix and Awesomeness present.
Dear Office of Admissions, my name is Brooks Radigan, but I don't just want you to know that. I want the world to know that, because I want to change the world.
Brooks, a brown-haired teenager, sleeps at a desk. He taps his phone alarm.
Like my heroes before me, Jobs, Jordan, Musk, game changers, world changers. These are big lives, glamorous lives. My dad lived a pretty big life. Now he doesn't. You can't change the world alone. Every Jobs needs a Woz. Every Jordan has a Pippin. Every Musk has, well, actually, I think Musk will probably end up on Mars by himself. I've got merch.
Their V's are in.
And?
Someone wrote, oh, this app made me poke my eyes out. Thanks for nothing. But someone else wrote, groovy app. So, I guess it's net neutral.
It's good that they're not all bad.
True.
On to the next one.
Another crucial lesson I've learned from my heroes and from Murph, always be improving. I invoke this lesson daily in my current profession.
Cringing, Brooks hits the delete button repeatedly.
Purveyor of the culinary arts. Without vision, we succumb to the average.
And what I want is the extraordinary and the support of an extraordinary universe.
Okay, that's enough.
But there's actually 5 more pages.
That's plenty.
Okay, so what'd you think?
I think...
Leaning forward, the red-haired counselor hesitates.
I think all the words were there.
You hate it. I bare my soul in these pages, and you hate my soul.
You didn't bare your soul. That's what I hate about it.
Say more about that.
You want to change the world. What about it?
I mean, the world needs changing. I'm sure that you can agree with that.
Ugh.
She gestures for the essay.
You talk about creating the next big thing. What thing? And you want to be a game changer. Well, what is the game?
You're really going full-blown Shark Tank on me, and I have to say that I appreciate it.
Yale is the goal, correct?
Yes, more than anything in the world.
You have the grades.
Thank you for noticing.
But they're not just looking for good grades. And if you want to stand out, you're going to have to rework your essay. You're going to have to look real deep inside and ask yourself, who is Brooks Radigan?
Brooks nods with a faraway look in his eyes. Later in the school parking lot, Brooks stares at a shiny blue sports car.
Want to take it for a spin, Radigan?
A tall teen in a flannel shirt approaches.
Yeah, sure.
Brooks nods, smiling.
No.
His face falls as he watches the teen drive off. Brooks hangs his head and gets into an old maroon sedan. He drives through a small town, passing storefront canopies, pedestrians, and parked cars. He passes a graffitied building, then pulls over in front of a small white house. Inside, Brooks' bearded, middle-aged father, Charlie, cooks in a messy kitchen.
Hey, he's home. Good thing I got a second box here.
No, I think I'm just gonna grab something from work.
Wait. No, don't go. I feel like we don't talk anymore.
Really? I feel like that's pretty much all we do.
You met with the counselor today, right? How'd that go?
It was good. She told me that Yale's competitive. Did you know that?
I thought we agreed on UConn. Faculty scions only pay room and board.
Dad, I already told you not to worry about the money.
Okay, you're right. What am I worried about money? College is free, right?
He frowns.
I'm gonna figure it out.
I don't get it. It's a great school.
Dad, UConn is like the girl down the street who eats food in bed and smells like it.
Patty Munchrath?
I love Patty. She's fantastic, but she's not Yale. At Yale, she's smart. She's stylish, but not flashy. She's cultured, speaks multiple languages, probably knows how to sail. You get accepted by her, that means you're somebody special.
At a fast food restaurant.
Hey, yo, Murph, you want to write my admissions essay for me? We could do it like a thought exercise.
I'm good, because I'm writing mine, because people write their own.
Well, give me some inspiration, man. What's your core theme?
I'm writing about my struggles with dyslexia, and I'm writing it backwards.
That's genius. You want to hear what I got? My name is Brooks Radigan.
They stand wearing blue aprons and caps with sub-sub written on them.
I like it. It's raw. Honest.
I don't know, man. I think my life's interesting. I just don't know how to articulate it, you know?
Why don't you write about your mom leaving? That's interesting.
That's a really short essay, actually. Dad got bucked off the publishing horse, and instead of getting back on it and chasing after his cowgirl, he decided that sitting in the mud was good enough for him.
Yeah, but she left you, too.
No, I think in truth she left this town. And I can't hold that against her.
Nothing is good enough for you. I think I can respect that.
Somewhere aunt and uncle keep begging me and begging me, and it's like I'm not gonna say no.
You say no because she's family, and dating your cousin is weird.
Dude, I'm not dating my cousin. I'm escorting her to a semi-formal at Greenwich Prep. That's it.
Plus, my uncle's paying me too, so.
What up, Radigan? Italian sub on wheat, no tomatoes.
Italian sub for the Italian guy.
I'm Swedish.
No, yeah, I know. Just no self-respecting Italian who turns back on the tomato.
Word.
Brooks points with a nod.
Anyway, I mean, dude, it's like the worst timing ever, too. Like, Madison's parents are gonna be gone for the night, and we'd have the entire house to ourselves.
So. Is your cousin hot? I'll take her if she's hot.
I'll take your cousin.
What?
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
What?
I'll take your cousin to the dance.
Oh, yeah, sandwich boy? Yeah, you're gonna be wearing those plastic gloves, too? Because my aunt would love that.
No, this is Greenwich, so I would dress the part.
Why? What would you get out of it?
I'd get the payment you were talking about. And I get to take your car.
Yo, you're not taking my car.
Come on, man. You're gonna tell me that you really want to give up the chance of spending an entire night alone with Madison when her parents are out of town?
He stares as he considers Brooks.
You got a suit?
At night, the blue car races down a road.
Oh, I cannot believe he said yes, Murph. This is incredible.
It's just a car.
You have no appreciation for the finer things in life.
Speaking of things I don't have appreciation for, remind me again why you agreed to do this.
Because I need the money. Who knows? Maybe stepping outside of myself, becoming someone else for the night, it might actually help me finish my essay.
And who are you gonna become?
Whatever she wants me to be, which I'm pretty sure is what every other girl wants me to be. Some knight in shining armor, some prince charming to open doors for her and compliment her hair.
You're getting paid to take a girl on a date.
So? Did you know that Michelle Obama got paid to go on a date with Barack? And look how great that turned out.
Is that true?
I don't know, I'm not a presidential historian.
But it could be true.
And that is my point.
In an upscale neighborhood, Brooks pulls over in front of a large house with a manicured lawn. Wearing a blue blazer, he smiles as he heads for the front door.
Hello, sir, Brooks Radigan.
Brooks Radigan. Reese told us all about you. Just your name, but that's all I needed to run the background check.
No, I know. I actually know that you ran a background check. I found out when I ran one on you.
Jerry Lieberman. Come in, Brooks.
Sure.
Before you have a chance to change your mind.
Brooks frowns.
I'm kidding. I like to joke about things. So, welcome to our humble abode.
This is stupid.
As you can see, all original flooring.
I swear, Jerry, the wrinkles that girl has caused me in places I didn't even know could wrinkle.
Honey, our guest has arrived.
Hi. Brooks Radigan.
Lillian Lieberman.
He shakes her hand.
She won't wear the shoes.
There are no the shoes. There's just shoes. Is she wearing shoes? It's a miracle she agreed to do this.
A brunette teen in leather boots and a short pink dress joins them.
Good evening. I'm
Reese's bitch.
Celia, relax. He knows I'm kidding. Right, Slim?
Well, sweetie, you look so beautiful.
I'm not wearing the shoes, but they go. Listen to yourself.
Well, I happen to think that heels are an outmoded display of female oppression.
She looks from Brooks to her parents smugly.
Fine. Thanks, Mom. Let's do this so we can stop doing this.
You kids have fun.
Her parents smile.
Thanks for the assist back there.
Yeah, no, it's just part of the job.
Reese let you use his car. Man, he was really desperate to get out of this, wasn't he?
No. He wanted to go with you. He just thought we would have more fun together.
There
you are.
Aw, that's cute. But I can open my own doors. Thanks.
Brooks scratches his temple and walks around the car.
Okay.
Later, he looks at Celia furtively as they drive.
Shall I put on some music?
Wow, you provide quite the service. Don't tell me you've got individually wrapped Mentos and tiny little water bottles in your glove box. Oh my God, you do. Fulfilling my fantasy of dating my Lyft driver.
In 500 feet, make a left.
Oh, you know, you're gonna keep going straight.
The navigation
system. No, don't listen to robots, listen to me.
Recalculate. In 200 feet, make a right.
I'm gonna make a left here. Okay, so now pull over. And here we are.
This is not your high school.
Wouldn't it be weird if it was? Okay, so you can swing back and pick me up in a few hours.
Whoa, you're telling me that you would rather hang out at a cafe bookstore than go to a high school dance?
Yes. Oh my God, yes. Yes, I would.
Celia.
Gigolo.
Brooks, my name's Brooks.
Sure.
Look, you're my responsibility, and I cannot let you out of this car.
Okay, well, let's define terms here. I'm not your responsibility because Eisenhower isn't in office anymore. Secondly, you're getting paid to hang out with me. Imagine how that makes me feel. Like, really, really imagine it. Now do as I say.
Compensation aside, I happen to think that you and I can have a really good time tonight.
You've clearly never been to my high school.
Brooks looks at her with raised brows and she rolls her eyes.
Fine.
Celia puts on her seatbelt as he watches, shaking his head.
Wow.
What?
Your hair looks really nice.
She shoots him a look. Later, as Brooks and Celia arrive at the dance, groups of students pose for selfies.
Wow, this is your cafeteria?
Center for culinary participation. Don't let the glossy sheen fool you. The food still sucks.
You know, I admire your ability to ruin moments. You do it with panache.
Why is nobody dancing? What, is dancing just a poor person thing now?
You think people actually go to a dance to dance? No, they come here to take photos for their Instagram. I'm pretty sure that's why people have babies now, too.
Okay, let's go shred some hardwood.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Brooks drags Celia onto the sparsely populated dance floor. He starts to dance and she joins him reluctantly, moving her arms in a fluid motion in front of her body.
Okay.
He frowns as her movements speed up.
What do you got going on over here?
I can't tell if you're doing Chandler Bing or Napoleon Dynamite.
Definitely Bing.
It's a good choice.
Celia smiles. She glances around uncomfortably as other couples begin to slow dance. Brooks holds his hand out toward her.
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
No.
Come
on. No.
A grinning Brooks holds Celia as they dance. His smile slowly fades as he notices a black-haired girl taking selfies in front of a wall of flowers. Looking longingly at the girl, Brooks trips Celia.
Oh, hey. Ow, no!
What happened? Are you okay?
Yeah, you just made me twist my ankle, you dipshit.
Sorry, I was kind of blinded by an angelic light.
It's fine, whatever. Just now I'm on medical leave.
Hey, come on, let me help you.
Hey, do not touch me. Thank you.
Celia limps away and Brooks follows, stealing glances back toward the black-haired girl. Students drink colorful punch as Brooks takes a bag of ice to Celia, who sits at a table with her leg elevated. Noticing Celia's foot, the black-haired girl walks over.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You okay, Celia?
Yeah, I'm fine. But now I can't run the charity 5K for canine diabetes this weekend.
Huh. Oh, funny. So I'm having this intimate after-party thing at my place. You guys should come.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Celia looks at her foot.
She's, but rain check?
That's a shame.
Celia tilts her head.
I'm Shelby, by the way.
Brooks.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, well, what do you say there, Brooksy? My boyfriend, my protector, my forever love. Should we get the hell moving?
Yeah, it was nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
A downcast Brooks watches Shelby leave as Celia sits, smiling. Later, they drive past some graffiti art.
I mean, a baby in a gas mask?
Ugh, street art is a public disservice. It's like streaking on a baseball field.
Trash bug?
Yeah.
Oh, I see stuff everywhere.
You know, I'm pretty sure his next piece is gonna be the Mona Lisa, but with fangs.
Trash bag. He's just some bored, privileged white dude. I know it.
How you doing temperature-wise? You comfortable?
You are a real professional. Like, is this your stock and trade?
No.
It should be. I'm telling you, you're really good at it. Troubled rich girls and need a chaperone. It could be big business here.
You really think so?
No, I'm joking, but wow, you are super serious about it, huh? Okay. You know, I could provide a testimonial for your website. Celia Lieberman says, Brooks Radigan stepped on my ankle. But you got me ice.
Much appreciated, thank you.
They share a smile, an aerial view of the blue sports car driving through town. Later, ducking under the butterfly door, Celia climbs out of the car as Brooks struggles on the driver's side.
Hey, come on. Wait, let me help you. Just... Wait, come on. Hold on.
She limps away.
I insist, okay? You should not have to walk to that door by yourself, especially not with that ankle, which has miraculously shifted to the other leg.
Huh. Miracles happen every day.
I had to break into the kitchen to get you packs of ice. You're a sadist.
One of my more likable qualities, actually.
I cannot believe that I missed Shelby's after party because of your dumb fake ankle injury.
My fake ankle injury was not dumb. My fake ankle injury was strategic and adorable. You should be thanking me. You do not belong at Shelby's party.
Oh, wow, really? Poor kid from Bridgeport doesn't belong at a Greenwich after party?
Whoa. I didn't even need to try to push that button. We met like 4 hours ago, remember? I don't know where you're from. I meant you don't belong there because you seem normal.
Oh, the highest compliment one can receive.
She turns.
Hey, you're back.
She waves toward Brooks.
Disappear.
He grimaces. Brooks walks up to the front door as she stomps inside.
So, how was the dance?
That was good.
Oh,
thanks for asking.
Great.
Your daughter is a very...
Do not try to define her, Brooks. It will mess up your early 40s.
Jerry's brows rise behind his round glasses.
Well, are there still the matter of the...
Oh, the bounty. Yes, you know what? Take all of it.
Are you sure? That's a lot of money.
Sure.
You lasted 3 hours longer than we predicted. You earned every Benjamin.
Later.
All right, the exterior looks okay. I mean, you got a couple smudges right here, but it's not too big of a deal.
I don't get it. Reese, I mean, you go to the same school your parents aren't rich. How did you afford this thing?
Hey, dude.
Reese gets close.
Dude, some questions just shouldn't be asked, okay?
Yeah, my bad.
I'm kidding, bro. I'm kidding. Calm down. Honestly, it's in the hustle. It's all in the hustle.
Reese gets into his car as Brooks stands on the sidewalk chewing his lip. Watching Reese drive off, Brooks smiles to himself. In the morning, Murph carries a tray full of bread out of the kitchen, followed by Brooks.
Come on, it is classic quid pro quo. I get the app I need and the money I need to go to Yale, and you get to practice your craft, the art of coding.
You haven't even been accepted yet.
Yet! Look, worst case scenario, I take the money and I get ownership stake in this here fine establishment. Can finally live out my eighth choice dream of being a fast food restaurant owner.
What would you need exactly?
Okay, so I've been thinking, and I think that every date would be custom built by the user, meaning that they could pick my personality, my interests, whether I'm a listener or a talker, if I'm funny or serious. Basically, I'm a stand-in for whatever it is that they want. Their dream come true.
If it was successful, that would look good on my college applications.
So does this mean that you're in?
Murph nods and Brooks beams.
I love you so much, Murph.
Wait, what time is it?
Tuna melt on 7 grain.
Did you hear a ding? I think the cheese delivery is here. Would you go check?
I didn't hear a ding.
No, I did. Yeah, I did. I definitely heard it. Go.
Don't.
Now.
Why are you rushing me, man?
Murph stands alone as a smiling young man enters.
Hi. I'll take a tuna melt on 7 grain, please.
Of course you will.
Murph tips his cap and they exchange a smile. Later in Murph's room.
Is it done? Have you ever tried to program an app on custom Objective-C infrastructure? Yeah, you're lucky I was able to salvage some of this code from another project.
Brooks throws up his hands.
Is that it?
Smiling, Murph hands him a phone.
It is done.
An app loads on the phone.
The stand-in. Murph, this is perfect.
Uh-huh. In terms of functionality, think Grubhub, but instead of ordering Pad Thai, they'll be ordering you. And check it out. I created a secondary app that tracks your progress. As you make more money, your avatar gets closer to your goal. I'm calling it My Tracks.
My Tracks? There's a little Brooks Radigan in there. You look so innocent.
Yeah, but that's all in the past, because you're a hooker now.
What? No, I'm not. I'm...
Guess that makes me your pimp. A high-tech pimp, but a pimp nonetheless.
No.
Yeah, I'm a gay teenage pimp. Wearing a secondhand hoodie, my life as I envisioned it.
I am not going to be sleeping.
Yeah, I know. Because if you did, we'd both go to jail, which rhymes with Yale and yet is so, so different. But I guess you'd have your new rich friends to bail you out.
Okay, Murph, first of all, I don't have any new friends. Okay, and second of all, I'm offering my services as a chaperone.
Murph shoots him a look.
But whatever, man. What do we do now?
What one does when bringing a new product to market, talk about it incessantly on Reddit until it sounds really important.
What is a Reddit?
In the morning, Charlie flips pancakes on a skillet as Brooks eyes a set table from the top of the stairs.
What's going on?
Breakfast for two.
Why?
Because families eat breakfast together, even really small ones. Next year, when you're off to college, I'll be a family of one. So now, we eat pancakes.
He carries pancakes and syrup.
Pancakes.
Charlie smiles.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks takes a pancake, then looks at his dad.
What is going on? I haven't seen this look on your face since Mom let you buy a motorcycle.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. I saw it in the mail this morning, and I just had to open it. UConn.
You got in. Full ride.
I know. You think you got in because I teach there.
Dad, you teach a continued ed night class 2 Wednesdays a month. I don't think that had anything to do with... Look, I'm sorry. I haven't worked my ass off for the past 3.5 years to go to a public college, Dad.
Closing his eyes, Charlie shakes his head.
Look, I gotta get to work.
I don't know how you managed it, but you ruined pancakes. That's impressive.
His face glum, Brooks looks at his dad as he packs up his backpack and leaves. Later, Brooks sits at his desk looking at Shelby's Instagram page. He clicks on one of Shelby's selfies. Fingers pressed on his forehead, Brooks opens a blank document.
Dear Office of Admissions,
my name is Brooks Brannigan of House.
Checking his phone, he finds a notification that reads, need plus one for art show.
Murph, you prince of Connecticut, you king of Reddit.
Nodding excitedly, Brooks taps accept. Now he picks an outfit from his closet. Later at the gallery, he wears glasses with a black sweater and scarf.
And of course, the whole abstract expressionist movement really gained notoriety from Jackson Pollock, whose, influence is clearly present here.
Brooks's date looks at him appreciatively. As she turns away, he checks notes written on his arm. Studying in his room, Brooks gets a request for a couples tennis tourney. Later at a tennis court, Brooks puts on a white headband. Wearing matching white wristbands, he strikes balls.
Suck it, Bill and Karen!
In class, Brooks accepts a request for a dating practice in a restaurant.
So, sports, right? Isn't it interesting how many there are? And how some use balls and then some don't. And pucks, there's pucks. Okay, I'm terrible at this. I should just never go on a real date, ever.
No. You're doing great.
Walking into school, Brooks accepts a stand-in request for a costume contest. Later at a costume shop, he holds up a silver space helmet.
This is one small step for man.
Back at the practice date.
Talk about what you want to talk about, not what you think I want to talk about.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
So what do you want to talk about?
Well, this morning I did see a very large man walking a very tiny dog.
Oh my God, I love it when that happens.
Me too!
Montage, stand-in requests for salsa dancing, a rodeo, and an 80s party pop-up. Brooks tries on different outfits at the costume shop. More stand-in requests pile up. Brooks arrives at the 3 dates dressed like a cowboy, a salsa dancer, and wearing neon 80s clothes.
Howdy.
Hola.
tape.
Later, he crashes onto his bed, checking his MyTrack's progress. His avatar moves a step forward. He smiles at his phone, shuts his eyes, then turns off the light. In the morning, Brooks walks out of his house wearing his backpack. He takes his phone out of his pocket. Checking the caller, he sees a phone number.
Brooks!
Look, I'm not good at apologies, but I feel like I owe you one because you were a gentleman and pretty fun to be around, and you were just doing your job. But honestly, you're pretty smug, too, so I feel like it shouldn't be a whole apology, but a half apology, so I'm half sorry. Is that cool?
I'm sorry, who is this?
Oh, geez. Sorry, it's Celia. So do you accept my half apology or not?
Well, you were half forgiven, but fully admired for the effort.
Well, good. Because I'm in desperate need of your services.
Oh, God. What's your mom making you go to this time?
Is it a debutante ball? Ice cream social? Wait, let me guess. Is it a horse auction?
Uh-huh. No, yeah, that's pretty accurate. No, there's this boy I like, Franklin.
Hold on, Celia. You have a crush?
Is that so hard to believe?
Yes, it is. That's why you're hearing disbelief in my tone.
Just because I'm a little weird doesn't make me less human. In fact,
it makes me more human. So there's this party at Shelby's house tonight.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
100 times yes.
Whoa. Reel it in there, cowboy.
I mean,
I barely want to go.
So I'm thinking, listen, we show up as a hot
couple, get Franklin a little jealous. Maybe you can stir up some attention from Shelby.
So pick me up at 7.
It's a date.
And Celia, next time you
require my services, could you use my app?
Oh my God, you didn't.
Oh, but I did.
Later, outside a modern-looking house, as they wait for a valet, Celia checks the stand-in app.
Okay, this is way more than mints and tiny bottles of water. This is a full-on bespoke concierge service.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so what's the weirdest Brooks Radigan you've been thus far?
I had a date the other night where I had to just sit on this girl's couch and listen to her talk for 4 hours straight. And all I was allowed to say was, yes, I agree. And there is no other way to see it.
Oh my God, that is the perfect date.
There's no other way to see it.
Hey! Oh, thank you.
Sorry.
Couple things. The shifter sticks a little bit, and then the passenger window doesn't close all the way, so watch out for that. And there's a spring in the seat cushion, so do not lean all the way back.
Brooks gives the confused valet the thumbs up and walks away.
Wow. What, does Bruce Wayne live here?
You know, Shelby's dad's basically Batman if Bruce Wayne was a sleazy hedge fund manager with a questionable sense of finance law.
Brooks looks around the place open-mouthed as he and Celia make their way up a set of stairs through the crowded house. Shelby spots them and walks over.
You guys made it. Hey.
Your place is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
It makes me reconsider the allure of living in a 3-room house with a view of Target.
Oh, he's kidding, obviously. Brooks is from Darien. Oh my God, I love it there. It's just so beautiful. It makes this neighborhood look like a shanty town.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Could you excuse me for one moment? Seems the family dog escaped his room. Don't go anywhere.
Wouldn't want to get lost.
Shelby walks off with a middle-aged man.
Darien? Really?
Hey, this is Shelby Pace. We're trying to impress here. Either go big or go home, son.
Celia spots a curly-haired teen boy.
Oh my God, that's Franklin. Abort, let's go.
Wait, this is the whole reason that we're here.
I know, but I just didn't expect to see him so soon. I thought I'd have some time to, I don't know, like, clutch my bearings.
Relax. Okay, which one is it? Is he the guy in the yellow shirt?
Yes, stop being so obvious. Stop it. Pretend to have a conversation with me.
Brooke squints at her as she starts mouthing words with exaggerated expressions.
We could also have a real conversation. That might be way less weird.
Fine, whatever. You start.
Where are you planning on going to college?
University of Michigan.
Wait, you're not going Ivy League? Isn't that, like, your birthright?
Please. You see this?
Uh-huh.
This is the precise number of shits I give about the Ivy League.
Well, I give many more shits than that.
She lowers her hand, formed in a zero.
You know, if you want to go talk to him, you should just go talk to him.
I know. I'm working up to it.
This is ridiculous. Stop. Come on. You are making it worse by making a scene.
Such a brute.
I know. It's one of my more likable qualities. Have you seen this collection? She is a music fiend, always going on and on about bands that I've never heard of. So you know they're cool, right? Not in like a mainstream way cool, in like a subversive. Tell him.
I like music and records.
Me too. I mean, vinyl's the only pure delivery method, right?
She looks at Brooks, who nods.
Yeah, I'm always saying that. Music should only be listened to on melted and then pressed vinyl discs.
You know, there are kids our age, they've never even like heard a vinyl record before.
They don't know what they're missing. Or worse, they do.
He smiles at her. Later, Brooks pours himself a drink as Shelby approaches.
You know your girlfriend's over there talking to Franklin Bali?
Everything's like so compressed on digital, it's like drinking a frozen OJ instead of a fresh squeezed OJ.
Yeah, it's okay. We trust each other. I'm not really a jealous type.
How refreshing.
Well, I aim to refresh.
You're funny.
Me?
Most guys I know don't realize they can be both rich and funny.
Well, you can. I'm obviously living proof.
Later, Celia sits alone on a couch checking her phone. Brooks joins her holding 2 pints of ice cream and spoons.
Hey, they have a separate freezer for ice cream. I was by myself in the kitchen and I started to applaud. So we have Boom Chocolata and plain old vanilla.
Oh, thank you.
She takes the vanilla.
Really?
Yo, don't knock vanilla, okay? Seems a little boring, I'd give you that, but there's a lot of nuanced flavors hiding inside. Kinda like you.
Wow, so I'm vanilla.
Yeah.
Somehow you always manage to compliment and insult me at the same time.
It's a hereditary gift on my mom's side.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks looks around.
Where's Franklin?
No, he's somewhere. I don't really want to see that much of him.
Hmm?
Before our date.
What? Franklin asked you out? That's great.
No, actually, I asked him out because I am the master of my universe. And yeah, it's pretty great. Ooh, separate but related.
Mm-hmm.
Gives us a pretty good reason for our breakup.
Okay, so you're game. You meet someone new.
Hit it and quit it, baby. Okay, so there's this huge birthday party that's supposed to happen in a few weeks. And everyone's gonna be there, you know, including your girl, Shelby. Just the breakup has to be public, like very, very public.
Can you imagine if I date Shelby and get into Yale? I mean, that would be it. That'd be my dream come true.
Oh God, I feel bad for you. You're just relying on external factors for your happiness, waiting for people to accept you instead of accepting yourself. I mean, what could go wrong?
Isn't that exactly what you're doing with Franklin?
She narrows her eyes at him.
I'm just jealous.
Of what?
My connection with Franklin. It's more cerebral.
Please. Like, you're not at all interested in him because he's hot.
Whoa, his brain is hot, okay? I can just picture his gorgeous frontal lobe.
He pulls the spoon from his mouth and points it at her.
Gross.
Yeah, that was unintentionally gross. Fine. I like him because of his brains and, you know, the beautiful face that happens to be attached to it.
There you go. So we're both shallow teenagers.
It would appear so.
You're really sweet.
Yeah.
Can I ask some of that, please?
Whoa, no. No way.
He watches her as she scoots away. Later, they exit the house.
So I might be able to help. My dad knows the president.
Of what country?
Of Yale. They've been playing poker, like, forever. And I guess my dad's been losing to him for 10 years in case I ever wanted to go. So the fact that I don't want to go is kind of a sore point.
I don't get it. Rich people all know each other. I don't even know who my barber is.
Okay, hey, do you want my help or not?
Yes, 100 times yes.
Well, no promises, but I can check with him.
What? Are you serious? Wow. Thank you. That's all I got. All I got for you is, wow.
Well, I'm a woman of much wow.
Hey, man, I'll give you $50 for your car.
Brooks looks from the valet to Celia.
Oh, you think that's funny?
Yeah, I do.
Brooks enters as Charlie sleeps on the couch.
Hey.
Hey.
Whoa. What's with the getup?
Figured if I'm going to Yale, I better start stepping it up.
Hey, what's going on with all the late nights lately?
You know, usual teenage stuff. School projects, dances, 24-hour raves.
Attaboy.
You think you could clean up one day? I mean, it's starting to look a little condemned in here.
I'm gonna get to it.
And I could help you if you want.
I think I do. And actually, you have helped. I submitted a collection of my short stories to this fellowship because you were so terribly and vividly mean to me. So thank you for being a supportive asshole.
Anytime.
Charlie nods, smiling.
Good night, Bubs.
Good night, buddy.
Picking up a plate and glass from the coffee table, Charlie gets off the couch. Daytime at Sub-Sub.
Hey, look, Lil Brooks is almost a third of the way to his goal. I keep getting business like this, I'm gonna beat a little Yale by the summertime.
That's great, man. Really.
What is that? What? You seem distant.
Oh, I guess I am.
We just usually have stuff to talk about because we spend time together. Or we used to. So distance is making us distant, which makes sense to me.
Brooks frowns.
Huh.
But it's fine, really. You know, we're gonna grow apart when we go away to college. We might as well get the process started now.
Okay, well, how about this? I'm totally booked out today and tomorrow, but I am completely free on Saturday, and I will make sure it stays that way if you promise to go to Tino's with me.
Count me in. Oh, hey, can we head up the new zombie-themed escape room afterwards?
Yes, I am in.
All right.
The smiling teen enters.
Hello again.
Hey, I'll take it.
Tuna melt in seventh grade.
Yeah, thanks.
Murph is my given name.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I gotta give you this.
I just remembered that this is when you usually come by.
Yeah.
We get paid a dollar above minimum wage, so we're encouraged to provide top service.
Well, thanks, Murph.
Brooks smirks as he watches Murph staring.
What?
You are blushing.
Who is that?
Elsewhere.
And yo, I work at White Castle, okay? You know that means I see some of the finest bitches in the world every damn day. And Pops, I gotta tell you, with the utmost respect, your daughter, she has gotta be one of the finest bitches I have ever seen in my entire life. And I've been to the Westminster Dog Show, okay? All right?
He receives a FaceTime from Celia.
Hey, whoosh, I gotta take the Browns to the Super Bowl. And by that, I mean I gotta take a hot douche. Daddy-o, where the bathroom at?
It's down the hall on the left.
Oof.
Brooks leans into a blonde girl.
I love you.
In a Hawaiian shirt and gold chain, he winks. She returns the wink.
Hey, Celia.
Sup, Vanilla? What are you up to?
Oh, you know, getting paid to be a douche to a girl's parents so that they're more accepting of her real boyfriend when they actually meet him.
Parents have it hard. Hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Like, early afternoon-ish?
Well, for my best customer, I'm totally free. Why? What's up?
I may have gotten you an interview with the Dean of Undergraduate Admissions at Yale.
Oh, my God. Celia, I don't know what to say.
Well, why don't you try?
Celia Lieberman, you make flowers blossom.
Uh-huh.
You are the reason trees have leaves. You are a goddess.
Aw, that is absolutely correct.
What time should I pick you up?
You shouldn't. This is your day, but it's my rule, so I'm gonna pick you up at 1.
I'll text you my address.
Bye.
Sitting on the toilet, Brooks smiles widely, then squeezes his eyes shut. Coming out of the bathroom, he lowers his pants a little.
Woohoo! Yo, man, that number 2 turned to a number 5 real quick. Where the plunger at?
Daytime. Celia leans on a green hatchback looking at her phone. She smiles as she sees Brooks approaching, wearing glasses, a cardigan, and a tie, smiling proudly.
What? I'm trying to look smart. Do I look too smart?
It looks like someone took a J. Crew store, put in a cannon, and shot at your face.
Wow. Thank you so much. I mean, what do I do? I don't understand clothes. They're, like, completely irrelevant, yet somehow important.
Lose glasses. Go on, give it to me. Okay, that's better. Do you need the cardigan? I'm gonna answer that for you. You don't need the cardigan.
Well, I like the cardigan.
No one likes the cardigan.
But intellectual people wear cardigans.
You do not look intellectual. For the love of God. Come on. Oh, you know what you do need, though? You need a mani. That is a fight for another day, my friend.
Wow. Who would have thought that Celia Lieberman could be so comforting? It's like underneath all these layers of angst and sarcasm, there might actually be a human being.
Smiling, Celia opens the passenger side door.
Oh.
Brooks's mouth hangs open.
Thank you.
They share a smile.
You're welcome.
They drive down a highway surrounded by trees and fields. In the car, Brooks sings and dances along to the music as Celia drives, shaking her head with a smile. An aerial view of a city, the buildings surrounded by trees. As the car window reflects the passing structures, Brooks watches them dreamily, his face almost pressed against the glass. Hands in the pockets of his khakis, Brooks strolls along a path surrounded by trees. Walking beside him, Celia smiles as she watches him. In a waiting area, Brooks fidgets as they sit on a wooden bench.
Hey, relax. All you gotta do is be yourself. I mean, not this annoying, anxious version. The better version.
I have been an astronaut, a cowboy, and a douche all in the past 3 days, so I don't know which version of myself I'm supposed to be right now.
Brooks Radigan?
Dean's ready for you now.
Brooks walks to a woman standing at the bottom of an ornate staircase.
Hi. Hey.
Yeah.
You're gonna kill it.
He smiles.
You know.
He stops.
Unless you don't.
Brooks opens his mouth, closes it, then follows the middle-aged woman. In a stately office, a gray-haired man stands reading a folder.
Mr. Rattigan, pleasure to meet you. Take a seat.
Yes, sure.
Brooks takes a seat.
Oh.
The dean sits at his desk.
Tell me about yourself.
Yeah, I'd love to.
What says more about a person than numbers, right? So the first time I took the SAT, I got a 1510, and that was because I butchered the math section. But I knuckled down, and I put work over parties, and I managed to bump it up to a 1570 on my second time around.
That's too bad.
I'm sorry?
Well, that you missed out on parties. Parties are fun. It's important to enjoy life, especially at your age.
With respect, that's not exactly the message that we get from our parents or teachers.
I grant you that, yeah. Well, Mr. Rattigan, academically speaking, you seem like the perfect candidate for Yale.
Thank you, sir. Coming from you, that means a lot.
But I want to know a little something about you. Tell me something about yourself. Activities, hobbies.
Sure. Well, I'm in Friends Club. I'm a National Honor Society, and I'm
no.
an act.
No. I don't mean the things that you do because you think they look good on an application. What are some of your interests outside of school?
Outside of school.
Example. I had a kid in here yesterday, right there, and he breeds trash-eating microbes in his spare time. It's fascinating stuff.
I don't breed trash-eating microbes. I don't really breed microbes at all, but I do have hobbies and interests. I mean, so many of those.
Fingers to his temple, the dean shifts in his seat.
There is this thing, but I think you'll find it stupid.
No, what? What is it?
Well, lately I've been getting into honeybees.
And I'm sorry. Did you just say honeybees?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a bit of an amateur beekeeper. I know, sounds silly.
No, it doesn't sound silly at all to me. I'm a bit of an apiarist myself.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow, what a small world.
Well, tell me, what's your bee of choice?
Well, I used to be all about the Russian bees. But then I found that their swarminess tended to be a little too...
Unpredictable.
Unpredictable. That's right. That's right. So now I'm a buckfast man all the way. They yes. have so much more foraging zeal. And, you know, don't even get me started on their resistance to tracheal mites.
Huh. Tracheal mites.
Later...
As soon as you get that application done, you bring it into me personally, okay? Not my secretary.
I will, sir.
Sir, call me Delbert, please.
Okay.
And when you come by, don't forget to bring a jar of that honey of yours.
Well, as long as you bring a jar of your honey, we can have ourselves a little honey swap.
It was a pleasure meeting you, Mr. Rattigan. Truly.
The pleasure was mine. Delbert.
In the waiting area, they shake hands and Delbert walks off. A grinning Brooks turns to face Celia.
Thank you. So much for setting this up. I mean, it went better than I could have imagined it.
Oh, well, happy to help. Just one little tiny question. Why exactly are you guys swapping honey?
Brooks frowns.
What, is that unusual?
I can't believe you.
What? So I did some research before my interview. Okay, hold on a second. What is the difference between me spouting a few beekeeping facts and any of the stand-in dates that I've been on? Huh? You know that I'm not an art historian or a douche, right?
No, actually, I don't know that. And this is completely different. Those girls paid you to lie to them, and this time you did it all on your own.
Look, it is hustle, baby. Pure hustle.
Oh, God, please don't ever say that again.
It sounded a little bit better coming out of Reese's mouth.
Wait, Reese? My cousin Reese. Yeah. What does he know about hustle?
That's how he got his BMW.
Brooks, Reese got his car because his dad started having an affair with his sister's JV tennis coach, and his mom found out about it, so she started sleeping with a dude who owns a bunch of BMW dealerships, hence the BMW.
Was no hustle?
No.
You're telling me that Reese got a brand new BMW i8 because his parents are shitty people?
Yeah. So maybe you should rethink who your role models are.
Thinking, he snaps his fingers.
What about Shelby and Franklin?
What about Shelby and Franklin?
You don't know the first thing about vinyl, and I am certainly not from Darien, okay? These are lies that both of us made up to get what we want.
She glances to the side, open-mouthed, as Brooks raises his brows, waiting.
Mmm. Mm-hmm. Storming off. That's fantastic. Because that's what people who are right and not hypocrites do.
Speak more words and I'll hurt you.
In the car, Celia purses her lips, her eyes shifting as Brooks stares ahead beside her.
Maybe you're right.
About which thing? There were a couple.
Maybe I am a hypocrite, okay? My parents say that I stomp around in my boots looking tough to push people away. Because I'm too scared to show people who I really am.
She rolls her eyes.
Oh, God. If anyone actually heard me say this.
Brooks points at himself, then waves his hand.
Well, you know what I mean.
You're gonna be fine. Okay, you are Celia Lieberman, and being weird and confident are not mutually exclusive elements to life. You just happen to be a master of both of them.
Do you really mean that?
Yes.
They smile.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
At a pizza place.
So I can see Brooks' house from across the street, sitting beside the outgoing mailbox. There's this big flimsy cardboard box with like 20 postage stamps stuck to it and just one word written across the top, Idaho. So mailman picks it up and immediately the box gives up and little six-year-old Brooks slips out the bottom and hits the pavement like, oh!
And I'm hiding across the street watching it all like,
just laughing my ass off.
Okay, wait, so what did you do?
I mean, the only thing that I could do, I said, good afternoon, Mr. Postman. I, like, grabbed my backpack and I went back inside my house.
I can't believe you tried to mail yourself to Ida.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you so much. I got this.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Nice guy.
Fancy man.
Okay. Dio. So, of all places, why Idaho?
Right. It's where his mom lives. She's married to some rich pediatrician or a rich plastic surgeon, rich pediatric plastic surgeon. And they have two kids together, and every year they send Brooks and his dad a Christmas card with a picture of her whole new family. You know, which to me seems totally screwed up.
Celia watches Brooks as he laughs with a white-haired man, Tino.
See it, Tino.
Tino.
They exit Tino's pizza at night. Murph checks his phone.
Is that a tuna melt on 7 grain?
If only.
Tuna melt on 7?
It's nothing.
Murph just here has a little crush on one of the sub shop regulars.
Oh.
We don't know his name, so we call him by his order.
He hasn't been in the shop for a week. I think I scared him off by pre-making his sandwich.
Aw, you pre-made his sandwich? That is adorable.
Listen, you're gonna be fine. He's gonna show up, and if not, who cares, right? You are going to find the right sandwich one day, my friend.
That is the lamest thing you've ever said.
Yeah, but you're laughing. Look at
get away
you.
Get away from me.
I'm glad someone's getting something out of my dating life.
He looks between them.
All right. Godspeed to you on your date tonight. Mm-hmm. You ready to get some zombies?
I am.
He narrows his eyes, pointing at Brooks.
But you seem unenthusiastic.
No. No, man. I got a request while we were eating.
Take it.
Wait, you serious?
Really?
All right, thank you. You're a really good friend.
Hey, good to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
Murph's smile fades as he watches Brooks and Celia get in her car. Releasing a big exhale, he walks around the corner. Later, Celia pulls over at Brooks's place.
I swear to God, your insurance must be so high.
Okay, you know what? Does the master have any advice for me for my big date?
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh.
Actually,
good.
Don't dance.
That is so offensive. Get out of my car.
I was just trying to help.
You know, today was horrible. Until it wasn't.
I agree. Do me a favor. Would you have fun tonight? Seriously, okay. You're going to dazzle him. Unless you don't.
Get out of my car. I'm not, I will drive off right now.
I'm out. That'll be nice.
Now, Celia and Franklin sit in a coffee shop.
The truth about coffee is it's all on the grind. You know, it has to be precise or the water, it seeps through the filter too quickly. You end up with a weak-ass brew.
Wow, you know a lot about coffee.
Pour over is an art form. You know, it's not like that overly processed, well, you got.
I don't know.
know. I kind of like my overly processed Will.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult you. I ramble when I'm nervous.
Wait, did you just say you're nervous?
Of course I am.
What?
Because frankly, I don't know if this is a date or not, because your boyfriend?
Oh, Brooks is not. He is my boyfriend and we are dating hard. We're dating hard. But, you know, we have one of those advanced modern relationships. Like, we don't belong to anyone.
I watched this Nat Geo doc about dung beetles, how they find their mates by analyzing the movements of a prospective mate's wings. And if they move in the same specific way, you know. They found their mate. Watching you and Brooks, you move the same, like a couple of adorable dung beetles.
She stares with a slight frown.
Well, we're not shit-eating beetles, though.
He nods.
We're actually going to be breaking up very soon, in fact. Very soon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He grins.
Suddenly, I'm encouraged.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
So, you're into vinyl, and you're obviously very passionate about coffee. What else are you into?
I'm passionate about a lot of things. Most of all, you know, my art.
Oh, that's cool. I like art. What's your medium?
The street.
No.
Actually, you may have seen some of my stuff, like, around town.
What?
He leans closer.
Oh, don't say it.
I'm Trash Buck.
You said it. You said who you are.
Are you familiar with my work?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you know how I did, like, that baby in a gas mask, and then I did, like, an old man in a gas mask?
Oh, yeah.
Right now, I am working on something that is going to blow those away. A cat in a gas mask.
She nods.
It's a commentary on itself and on Dr. Seuss. I mean, cats don't wear hats.
That is a very creative idea.
Daytime. A man rides a bike past street art depicting an old man in a gas mask with a walker. At school, Murph studies on a bench as Brooks approaches.
Dude, Saturday night was insane. I just can't tell if it was in a good or bad way. I mean, you think high school parties are crazy? They have got nothing on office parties. I saw a drunk guy snort a line of printer toner.
Murph stares at his books.
Thanks again for letting me off the hook.
Wow, what a great image about friendship. I'm a fisherman. Really, you went against your will to your death.
That's not how I meant it. How was your night?
I was alone, so I got paired with this group of drunk Germans. They didn't speak a word of English, so I wasn't including any of the puzzle solving. And to top it all off, a zombie. It got me in, like, the first, like, 10 minutes.
The zombie actually bit you?
No. One of the Germans did.
Brooks laughs. Murph gives him a look, and he stops.
It's not funny. It's funny if you think it's funny, too, but only if you... It's funny.
Yeah, I gotta
come
go
on.
To class.
Murph.
Murph packs his books and heads off.
Murph.
A woman jogs past Celia's house. Inside, Celia sits on her bed.
Hey.
No, you do not talk. I do the talking.
Excuse me?
I trusted you, Celia, and you chewed up that trust and you spit it in my face.
Okay, what the hell is going on?
I'm practicing. For the big show? Come on, did you forget?
Oh, yeah, our breakup.
So I'm thinking that Shelby and Franklin definitely need to be there when it happens. That way, when we go off on our own, they're gonna want to console us. Oh, shit, I almost forgot to ask you. How'd your day go?
Celia blinks slowly.
Well, it was the start of something great.
Well, I, for one, I'm super happy for you.
I am also happy for me, too. Yay.
Okay. Dope. See ya.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
She sighs, looking at her phone. Later, Celia sits in a chair wearing strappy heels and a shimmering tight dress. Her mother stands behind her.
I don't know.
You don't know what?
It doesn't really feel like me.
You look incredible.
She stares at her flawlessly made-up face in the mirror. Celia comes out of her house and heads toward Brooks, who sits in his car looking at his phone.
Hi.
Hi. All set?
Yeah. Dressed to kill.
His eyes are still on his phone.
Nice.
You know, to kill our fake love.
Good. It's good.
Tight dress. High heels.
Cool.
A live python around my neck.
Sorry, I'm just trying to figure out what I'm gonna say tonight.
You're writing a breakup script?
A breakup script, more like breakup bullet points.
He turns.
Oh, wow. Celia, you look great.
Thanks.
Where's the snake?
Huh. What's the plan?
Right. So I was thinking.
Later.
You're gonna go in first.
At a waterfront venue.
You walk around, mingle a bit, do your thing. Then, at exactly 8 o'clock, you strike up a conversation with Franklin. It'll play better if it seems like I'm catching you in the act.
You can put a gas mask on anything and have a real impact on people, like Thomas Jefferson, Mr. Rogers, the Pope. The Pope. That is brilliant. I gotta jot that down.
You know that story about the guy who has to push a boulder up the hill? Every time it gets to the top, it rolls back down and he has to start all over again. That's what talking to you is like.
Thank you. So you're saying I'm like Sisyphus?
Oh my God! You have a lot of nerve showing up here with him.
Okay. What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. I heard about your little date.
It was just coffee.
Please, to quote the great George Costanza, coffee is not coffee. Coffee is sex.
Coffee is better than sex, especially from the rare Kopi Luwak bean.
You think you're so much better than me, Celia, better than everyone here, but I know the truth. You're nothing but a hypocrite. A fake.
Hold on a second.
So you stomp around in those boots and you act so tough, but that's all it is. It's just an act.
Brooks, please don't do this.
A defense mechanism. See, it's a poor attempt at pushing people away. You're afraid that if somebody were to get too close to you, they might actually find out the truth. That Celia Lieberman, she's boring. You want to push me away? Go ahead, because we're through, baby. We are done. We are.
She slaps him, her eyes full of tears.
How's that for a defense mechanism?
Walking away, she stops.
God, I hate these shoes.
Celia.
Franklin picks up her discarded shoes and follows her.
Celia, my Don Vito.
Blinking, Brooks looks around, then heads in the opposite direction. Shelby watches as he leaves. Outside, he takes his phone out of his pocket, shaking his head. He types a text reading, "Best performance ever." I even started to think it was real. Nice work.
Brooks.
He turns to find Shelby.
Hey, you good?
Yeah, I'm fine. Physically, I'm fine, but emotionally, I'm a wreck.
I hate to admit it, but I kind of saw this one coming. I mean, those two were being really chummy at my party.
Yeah, well, I can be oblivious sometimes. So thank you for rubbing that in.
Smiling, they look into each other's eyes. Then Brooks leans in and kisses her.
So, Here's a question.
Yes, whatever it is, yes.
Will you go to formal with me?
She brushes her hair behind her ear.
I mean, do I have to speak, or can you read my alarmingly fast heart rate? Yes.
His hands on her waist and her hands on his neck, they kiss again.
Hold on, wait, you guys have another formal? How many formals does your school have?
As many are needed to fund the new stables.
Murph, you will never believe what happened to me. Shelby kissed me.
Oh, dude, congrats. Always knew you could do it. Who's Shelby?
Toby, what are you doing here?
Where's Murph? We switched shifts.
Why? Is he sick?
Well, I don't think so, because it wasn't just for today. It was for, like, the rest of the year.
Did he say why?
Nope.
Brooks stares off.
Oh, yeah. You know what, though? He did say that you were a selfish prick and that you only think about yourself.
Toby's eyes widen.
You don't think that has anything to do with him switching shifts, do you?
Brooks squints. Elsewhere,
I guess you think this is pretty pathetic. Going for a walk with some old lady.
No, I feel like I actually needed this.
My granddaughter set this up. I don't know the first thing about apps. Unless it's the Bloomin' Onion at Outback Steakhouse. Now, that's a good app.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I did this every day for the past 20 years. He passed away in June.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Oliver. That was his name. He was ugly as sin. His face was weird. He had the right size face on the wrong sized head. Old smushy face. That's what I call him.
That's real nice.
Oh, I didn't care what he looked like. He made me laugh, and I liked being around him. You want to know how you can tell if you're meant to be with someone?
Please.
It's simple. Just sit and have a conversation. Some people, when you talk to them, it's like trying to listen to classical music on a radio with no antenna.
Mm.
You can push that dial back and forth all you want, but you're only going to get static. But when you're meant to be with someone, when you truly are the one, you just sit, start talking, and a Beethoven sonata will begin to play.
Strolling down a tree-lined street, Brooks smiles at his elderly date. Later, he sends Celia a text reading, "Everything okay?" Tying her shoes in her bedroom, Celia receives a notification from Vanilla that reads, "Everything okay?" She reads it and tosses the phone aside. His face downcast, Brooks sits in his room holding his phone. Later, Celia eats dinner with her family, chewing and staring down blankly at the table.
You haven't mentioned the formal, Seal. It's tomorrow night.
Do you get a cut of ticket sales or something?
You are going, right?
I am, actually.
With whom?
Nobody. I'm going homeless.
What about Brooks? I thought you guys were hanging out, to use the parlance of your time.
Ew, Dad, no. I don't want to go with anybody. Not Brooks Radigan, not Franklin Volley, nobody. Okay?
Honey, listen.
Can you listen? I have the rest of my life to get hung up on relationships and dating, and is he really into me, and what does this text mean, and all that bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is it that high school is the time of your life that you're expected to be good at everything? I just want to be whatever I am. And I'm proud of that.
I just wanted you to have a better high school experience than I had.
Jerry wipes his mouth.
Here we go. Group hug.
No, that's good.
Group hug.
Oh, please.
Yep.
No, do we have to? Stop.
Brooks arrives at Shelby's. Wearing a tuxedo, he adjusts his bow tie in the car's window. He shakes out his hands as he walks up to the front door. A smiling Shelby answers the door in a brown dress with a plunging neckline.
Wow, you look incredible.
Thanks. It only took 3 stylists, 2 hairdressers, 1 makeup artist, bio-slimming active wrap, 2 hours of Pilates, and like 12 pounds of moisturizer to look this way.
Wow, I took a shower. Hold on, wait, chivalry is not dead. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Shelby pauses.
What's that smell?
Later, sitting across from each other at an upscale restaurant, Brooks's forehead creases as he reads the menu. Brooks sucks his teeth. Shelby's gaze moves from her menu to Brooks, then back toward the kitchen.
We ordered our tuna crudo like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Shelby nods, her eyes darting around. Brooks swallows hard.
Shelby, do you have any plans for after high school?
I don't know, it's tough. I mean, I don't like have my whole life planned out or anything.
Yeah, nobody does.
Exactly. So in the fall, I'll be going to Columbia, where I'll major in applied economics and management with a concentration in finance. And of course, I'll intern at my father's hedge fund over the summers. And it's off to Harvard Business School, where I'll get my MBA. I'll graduate, get some seed money, and then open up my own private equity firm. But After that, it's all kind of up in the air.
Wow, you really have to get your shit together, huh?
Right, yeah.
He smiles uncomfortably.
Yeah. How about you?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm applying to Yale. And then I'll...
With a faraway look, Brooks lets out a breath.
Well, I've been obsessing over just applying for so long that I haven't even thought about what I would do if I got in.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm 18. And I got time to figure out who I am and what I want to do. You know what I mean?
No.
They stare at each other. Later, groups of dressed-up students take selfies in front of a cloudy backdrop.
Here you go. Have a nice night.
A bartender hands a student punch as a DJ bobs her head behind a big fluffy cloud. Brooks and Shelby arrive.
Oh, no.
What?
It's your ex.
They spot Celia.
Is this gonna be weird for you? I mean, I personally don't care at all, but maybe you should.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Wow, she's a really bad dancer.
Brooks smiles as he watches Celia laughing and dancing with her friends.
Yeah, she's the worst.
Shelby studies him watching Celia.
So, you want to go get a table, or?
Yeah, sure.
Brooks? It is you.
Leah, hi. What are you doing here?
I go here. Look, I just really wanted to thank you. You really helped me out a lot. If I hadn't used your services, I wouldn't have the nerve to go out with Larry here.
Hi, I'm Larry. Nice to meet you, Larry. You want to get the table this one?
Wait, what do you mean you've used his services?
Stand-in. Brooks for hire. Isn't that what you're doing, Shelby?
Shelby frowns.
Am I paying somebody to go out with me? God, no, gross. Brooks?
Yeah.
What the hell is going on here?
Brooks shifts nervously.
I have a side business where I go on dates with girls.
Why? Wait. You're not like a male prostitute or anything, right? Like, what is it? A male gigolo.
Well, all gigolos are male, but not all males are gigolos. No, it's clean and innocent, I swear. I do it because I need the money, Shelby. I'm not rich. I'm not from Darien. I'm just some poor kid from Bridgeport who wanted to impress you. I mean, look at you. You are smart and strong and beautiful. You are way too good for me.
She nods.
You're right. I am too good for you. But not because I have more money than you. It's because I'm not a liar.
Shaking her head, Shelby walks away. Brooks stares after her, then his gaze shifts to a dancing Celia, and he smiles. Hesitantly approaching Celia, Brooks taps her shoulder. She turns to face him.
Hi.
Hey. Where's your date?
She is elsewhere. I told her everything. Where's Franklin?
Oh, you know, somewhere. Probably making sure no one ever wants to be an artist again.
You guys didn't work out?
No. No, we didn't. You know, he's not really my type. Turns out I'm more into oblivious, self-absorbed pricks. You know?
His face slowly breaks into a smile.
Right.
She tilts her head, smiling.
Well, then, would you like to dance?
Brooks offers Celia his hand. She contemplates it, then looks up at him.
No. No, I wouldn't.
Why not?
Because I'm not your backup.
Both their smiles fade as Celia walks away. Later at home, Charlie sits on the couch curling a tiny dumbbell. He looks away from the TV as Brooks enters.
You're home early.
Yeah.
His shirt untucked, Brooks holds his jacket.
Yeah. Tonight, didn't really go quite as I thought it would.
I'm sorry, kid.
Charlie puts down the dumbbell as Brooks slumps on the couch beside him.
You want to lay it on me?
He turns off the TV and faces Brooks.
I've been a stand-in.
I see. And what do those two words mean in this context?
He takes out his phone.
Well, I started a dating service app.
What?
Yeah. I was the date. The stand-in.
I've raised quite the entrepreneur, huh?
I mean, it was more of just really, school dances and art show openings. I went to a rodeo.
Oh, yeah. The cowboy outfit.
You saw that?
Sure did, partner. Damn, Brooks. You did all that just to raise money for Yale? I would have sold a non-vital organ if I'd known it meant that much to you. There's a reason God gave us two kidneys. That spare kidney is just a rainy day cash cow sitting there.
It wasn't really just for the money. I went out on all these dates and pretended to be whatever it was that these girls wanted me to be, because, I don't know, I thought that maybe I would find out who I am. Miss Strack quite cruelly pointed out that I have absolutely no idea who I am. Anyway, it didn't work.
Yeah, well, who the hell knows who they are anyway? We are all just figuring it out as we go along.
Yeah?
Yeah. So the best you can do is reflect on who you were in the past and compare that to who you want to be in the future, and you split the difference. That's who you are now. Like, I was a success, and I want to be a success again. And I was a good husband till your mom left us. She left me. But you know what I didn't fail at? Is being a good dad. Because of who you turned out to be. I know sometimes you think I gave up, and yeah, maybe there's some truth in that. But I never gave up on you.
He shakes his head.
I love you, bud.
You too, Dad.
I know.
Charlie nods as they smile at each other. Later, Brooks lies awake in bed holding his phone to his chest. He checks his text to Murph, reading, "Just tried you," followed by two question marks, then, "Come on, Murph, talk to me." Finding no reply, he shuts off the screen. He receives a request for a stand-in to help make an ex-boyfriend jealous. He declines it. Now at school, Brooks sits on a bench reading.
Bro, that's why I told you. Anyway, let's class.
Smiling, he waves at Murph.
I'll be back. Cool.
Brooks and Murph walk toward each other.
I used to you being alone. Yeah, well, I've successfully pushed everyone else away, so. It occurred to me that I never would have been able to get the stand-in off the ground if it wasn't for you. And then once I finally got it to take off, I shoved you out of the plane, so I am sorry. It's not that big a deal, man. I have an emotional parachute that I've been weaving together every day I've been alive. But how goes that Yale essay? It's paused. I'm not the best judge of my words or my actions right now. How's Tuna Melt? He came back to the shop. So good, I guess. Or at the very least, not really bad. He is not coming in for middle-of-the-road sandwich cuisine. All right, I get it. You're intimidated. He's taller. He's stronger. Oh. He's obviously better looking than you. But you are the smart one, so you have got to make the first move.
Brooks nods and Murph smiles subtly.
So I guess let's both do better. What we have to do, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
All right.
They shake hands and Murph walks away. Later in the school parking lot, Reese notices Brooks.
Watch this. Hey, yo, Radigan, bro. Dude, I heard what happened with you and my cousin, and if it makes you feel any better, I'll let you take my car for the weekend.
No, I'm good.
Just kidding, I'm not. What?
I said I'm good. Thanks, though, Reese.
Really?
Yeah. Just a car.
Look, if you ever need someone to talk to, I'm here. Okay? I know it can be rough when your parents go through a divorce. It makes you act differently, so.
What?
Brooks drives away, leaving Reese wearing a confused look. Later in his bedroom, Brooks checks his MyTrax progress to find he is four stops away from Yale. He narrows his eyes and turns to his laptop. He starts typing, "Dear Admissions Office." Now, Brooks sits in a cafe sipping his coffee as Celia enters. Seeing Brooks, Celia pauses. They exchange a wave and she heads over to his table.
Hey, Celia.
Hey.
She sits down across from him.
Thank you for saying yes to this. Can I get you something, a coffee, or I don't know, have a pour over? Franklin was actually right, they're kind of divine.
Oh God, no. No, thank you.
So, how you been?
Good. I'm good, I'm really good.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
She leans back in her chair.
Well, I killed the app.
Oh, that right?
Well, in the spirit of honesty, which is kind of my new thing, I haven't quite been able to bring myself to delete it. But I've denied all the requests that are coming in.
And the women of the world weep.
Not really. There's a couple copycat apps that have popped up. Market's getting saturated. I actually got out of the game in a good time.
Good.
Yeah. It's nice to see you. I miss you.
Brooks, please, just... don't, okay? Hey, am I gonna read this admissions letter or what?
Yes, sorry.
I hope you didn't waste too much time on it because, you know, based on your meeting with the dean, you could have drawn a picture of a bee and gotten in.
I actually didn't apply to Yale.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I accepted UConn's offer.
She tilts her head.
Hold on. I thought Yale was everything to you.
It was. It was, and then I realized that if I have to pretend to be someone else to get in there, then I probably don't belong there. You know?
Celia nods. Getting up, Brooks pushes a sheet of paper across the table toward her.
Brooks, what is this?
She holds up the page, and Brooks shrugs, walking away. She unfolds it and starts to read.
Dear Admissions Office of the University of Celia Lieberman, first off, I just want to say what an honor it is just to be considered as a potential attendee at your fine institution. And secondly, this feels really creepy writing to you as if you're a university and not a person, so I'll stop that now. A few months ago, I was a guy who carried around this empty feeling. And I thought that it could be filled by driving the nicest car, dating the most popular girl, or going to the fanciest school. But the closer I got to having any of these things, the deeper that empty feeling got. I've been so many people these past few months. A cowboy, an art connoisseur, an amateur beekeeper, a prep school wannabe, a bad friend, an obnoxious son, and a self-obsessed prick. But through it all, there were these little pockets of air when I felt like I was truly myself. And that was when I was with you.
Montage of Brooks and Celia together, eating ice cream, laughing in her car, dancing. Back at the cafe, Celia continues reading.
I don't know if you're accepting applications right now, but if not, I am totally willing to be waitlisted.
Celia glances towards the door. Later in the evening, Brooks watches TV at home.
Hey, I was gonna cook a steak. You want one?
No, thanks.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Charlie starts toward the kitchen.
Hey, you actually got some mail. I put it on the table.
Oh. Just what I need. It's probably another rejection letter.
He picks up an envelope.
This must be one of the grants I applied for, the Visionary Writing Award. Dear Mr. Radigan, in recognition of your unparalleled literary talent, we would like to offer you this grant to further your career as a visionary writer.
That's incredible, Dad.
Yeah! That's how we do it! Steak night! Boom!
Brooks smiles widely. he gets a stand-in request. It reads, in need of dance partner. Brooks declines and another pops up reading, seriously, it's an emergency. He declines. A third reads, you're not getting out of this. Brooks glances at the notification again as he heads for the door. Opening it, he finds Celia smiling at him.
I shouldn't have slapped you. I mean, it felt great for me, but I shouldn't have slapped you.
No, I think I deserved it.
Yeah, yeah, you did. And you know, I'd do it again. But I'd really like to not have to. So, you ready to go?
Go where?
Our date. I'm taking you to the formal.
Another formal? How expensive are horse stables? It's just a shed over an animal. No, I'm not going to another formal for as long as I live.
Come on. I'm not taking no for an answer, and you know how stubborn I can be.
I do know that. Fine.
Good answer.
But wait, you left literally all the fields blank on the app, so what kind of personality would you like for your date?
There were so many good ones. But I think I'm gonna go with regular old no-frills vanilla ice cream Brooks Radigan.
I think I can make that happen.
Later, wearing a tuxedo t-shirt, Celia leads Brooks into Sub Sub. He gapes at the Hawaiian-themed decor with colorful palm trees covered in string lights. Celia helps Murph and Tuna Melt with some chairs.
I got that.
Nice of you to dress up.
Yeah. I do what she tells me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's up? Murph. This is incredible.
I know.
Well, I can't take all the credit. The whole thing was Celia's idea. And Tuna Melt's a whiz with decor.
What's his real name?
Murph looks at the floor.
Oh my God, you don't know. How do you not know his name?
I keep hoping it'll come up naturally, and it never does. And I can't ask him now. I'm in too deep. Well, hey, look, I know it's early, but if you're in need of a roommate next year...
No. Wait, you're going to UConn?
I am.
I didn't think they'd accept me,
considering my GPA is a bit iffy. But I showed them some of my apps, and they were impressed.
Who told you that the stand-in was going to be good for both of us?
Not the stand-in, they hated it.
What?
Hated it. They liked my tracks. You know, and I tweaked it to be applicable for student loans, which makes me a genius.
Congratulations.
Hey, Murph, help me with this table?
Got it, man.
Hey, I can bear this weight no longer. You gotta tell me. Did I get in?
It was a tough call. I mean, your essay was littered with sentence fragments and run-ons. Like, seriously. But after careful consideration, the admissions board of the University of Celia Lieberman is pleased to inform you that, yes, you are accepted. Hey, don't get too excited. You are on a probationary basis, okay? Like one semester at a time.
Okay, I'll take what I can get.
So, I mean, what are you gonna do to celebrate this acceptance?
And there are a few things that I'd like to do.
Well, inform me. What?
One, I really wanna do this.
Murph and Tuna Melt raise a sunset backdrop as Brooks kisses Celia.
And two, I want to do that again.
Celia wraps her arms around Brooks as they kiss.
And three, I want to dance.
Oh, you think you can keep up with me?
I'd like to try.
Brooks twirls Celia, and they start to dance. Murph and Tuna Melt join them.
I can wear the clothes of the characters and films that I see. Some say unoriginal, but it works out for me.
A title appears over a black background, The Perfect Date. Opening credits continue. An Awesomeness Films production, an Ace Entertainment production. End credits appear. directed by Chris Nelson. Screenplay by Steve Bloom and Randall Green. Story by Steve Bloom. Based upon the book The Stand-In by Steve Bloom. Produced by Matt Kaplan. Producer John Tomko. Executive producers Jordan Levin, Brett Boutier, Matthew Seiner. Executive producers Mark Beanstock, Robin Marshall. Executive producers Scott Levine, Don Dunn. Executive producers Steve Bloom, David Blackman. Co-producers Jessica Held, Kelsey Jackson. Director of photography Bartosz Nalasik. Production designer James A. Gillardin. Edited by Brad Wilhite, Tara Timpone, ACE. Costume designer Ann Walters. Line producer John Brister. Music by Joe Wong. Music supervisor Brienne Rose. Casting by Nancy Nayer, CSA. Starring Noah Centineo. Starring Laura Morano. Starring Odysseus Georgiadis, Zach Steiner, Blaine Kern III, Joe Crest, with Matt Walsh, and Camila Mendez. The Perfect Date. Credits roll. Copyright 2019 Paramount Pictures Corporation, all rights reserved. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. This motion picture is protected under laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution.
red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.